Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
But you also had people that were very fine people.
Very fine people.
On both sides.
And the aliens would mind meld and give them the technology. They're bad aliens. So are you surprised the Nazis were influenced by demons?
No, if demons are real, I would definitely think they'd be on the side of the Nazis.
Yeah.
McDonald's is connected to the Clintons. They chop up the bodies and put them into the sausage and hamburgers. People are being cannibalized. Look it up.
And I'm watching CNN talk about this as violent white nationalist protests. We have done everything in our power to keep this peaceful, you know?
It's Pepe's become kind of a symbol.
Welcome to Yeah Nah Passeran, a show about fascism and its gravediggers. I'm Cam Smith.
I'm Andy Fleming.
And this week we are joined by journalist Lucy Hamilton, an expert on all things Atlas Network. Thanks for joining us, Lucy.
Thanks, Gavin and Andy. Great to be back.
I guess just to begin with, it's been a busy few months for the Atlas Network. We've just had in the last week, though, Advance, an Australian, I guess, arm of the network, have had a conference called Evolve. There's a lot of names to remember. What sort of things came up at the Evolve conference, can you tell us?
That was some of the interesting stuff to discover. So when you say it, that Advance is an arm of Atlas, we haven't been able to say that sort of thing since 2021 when Atlas took its partner list dark. Some groups appear to have left and a lot more seem to have been constructed. And we think Advance is one of those. And during the conference, one of the panels hosted quite a few chaps connected to the Australian Atlas Network think tank partners. And one of them was saying, we have had a lot of victories speaking about the things that they say that Advance has done. But from their perspective as men of the IPA and the Institute of Public Affairs, the IPA, and the Centre for Independent Studies, the CIS, it looks like they're claiming Advance as part of their own organisation. The other entertaining thing was that Maurice Newman confirmed that the Centre for Independent Studies, which likes to say it was forged in a maths teacher's back shed, was actually forged by Maurice Newman, who was around that time part of the Mont Pelerin Society, which is the steering committee of neoliberalism. And he lists a series of mining and similar companies that all stumped up. He seemed to remember around 50,000 each for forging this influence operation to shift the Australian political scene. So that was all interesting. And then the fourth gentleman on the panel was Steve Baxter, the investor that people might remember from Shark Tank. And he seemed a bit of an odd man out on the panel with the other think tank fellas. And it turns out he admits during the course of the panel that he's a Libertarian Party member and he's also a donor. And that the Lib Dems and the Libertarian Party are both political operations started by one of Australia's Mont Pelerin Society economists. So it was an interesting business watching the four of them talk about it. But the platforming of ideas that they were coming up with, probably the most disturbing of the ones was that they intend to do something about immigration. And Tony Abbott, who was also a speaker at the conference, said it was time to stop mass immigration, as he termed it, around the West. That's something that we all have to be concerned about because obviously a lot of damage was done to community relations with regard to First Peoples in Australia by the Voice to Parliament campaign. Nerve-wracking times ahead.
Lucy, I've seen some advanced propaganda about the question of immigration. It's quite lurid and quite vulgar in many respects. What exactly is the intent of this campaign and why do you think Advance has turned its sights on migrant workers?
That's a great question. So I think there's partly the same game that has been played for a while from some areas of the strategic people behind these things, that it's very easy to drum up popular support for that kind of nativist campaign. So when people are feeling like their lives are getting worse or harder, or when they're seeing difference around them, it can be easy to get hold of that and make people feel like they're going to lose if immigrants come in. And, you know, it's possible to focus on the fact that we need people coming in to work in the healthcare sector, aged care sector, building, all sorts of places. But if you flip that and say they're coming to take our jobs, then you can make people feel very aggrieved. There is a fascinating book called Hayek's Bastards by Quinn Slobodian, who's a history professor. And he talks about how deeply the idea that capitalism can only work in a monoculture is embedded in large swathes of that kind of neoliberal thinking. So sometimes it manifests as race, science, eugenics material, and sometimes as panic about keeping the West Western or culturally all similar so that we can keep being the kings of capitalism. And that may also be feeding into it. It may be just that some of the people involved have some ideas that we might call racist.
Lucy, people might talk down about a racially and culturally homogenous society, but one thing that those societies have is social cohesion through the roof. So much social cohesion in a homogenous society.
Indeed. We've all seen that social cohesion's been a big talking point in the commentariat and from our politicians recently. But most of us in the audience base for this program will be well aware that it's being used to crush protest, particularly about what's happening to Palestine. And rather than support social cohesion, the groups that are loudest about us needing it are trying to divide us and turn us against minority populations within our community. So it's concerning.
Lucy, how do you think these sorts of political actors are able to navigate between, on the one hand, declaring themselves to be not racist, at the same time encouraging political expressions which almost invariably have a strongly racialized overtone? And how does that fit with this kind of, it seems to be the case that this notion of social cohesion is, apart from being somewhat vacuous, for that reason being employed to justify a whole range of different policies that taken together don't present a very coherent, let's say, ideological vision of what constitutes social cohesion. The point I'm trying to make is, what are the kinds of strategies that these groups are deploying that incorporate both cultivating racist sentiment at the same time as appealing to some notion of social cohesion?
I think we're watching in real time what's happening in the US and the total shamelessness and the hypocrisy that pervades most of what's being done, calling oneself Christian and then shooting people on the streets of Minneapolis really doesn't hang together. And I think that's basically the same sort of spectrum of thought, that there's no consequences anymore. There's no shame for hypocrisy. And so one can make it more damaging to call someone a racist than it is to be a racist in the discourse at the moment, which makes it very difficult to call people out.
It was funny, I was just looking at the Advance Australia's Evolve website. The blurb for this could essentially be a yeah, nah, pass around promo. Around the world, politics is changing. Donald Trump is in the White House again. Reform UK, led by Brexit firebrand Nigel Farage, is on track to win government. And across Europe, a political storm is raging, with new centre-right parties pushing back against the tired old establishment and winning. And then I guess this is where they diverge. They say, we don't want Australia to be left out of this groundbreaking right-wing revolution.
There's a lot of expressions throughout it of admiration for, particularly for Nigel Farage, but also for Trump, and the desire to import that kind of politics here. So at one stage, Steve Baxter talks about introducing US primary systems and to cut away at our protections for business people who do deals with the government being prevented from standing for government. He thinks that should be cut away because I suppose he'd like himself or someone who shares his interests to be able to stay. He thinks it's disgraceful that I think it was doctors and pharmacists are able to be in parliament, but he isn't. And they repeatedly across the course of the conference refer to the duopoly as the uni party and seem quite tempted by One Nation at various times. So I think there's a lot of quite high-profile, high-status people getting in around reform at the moment, and I think they're hoping now that Gina Rinehart seems to be allying herself with the One Nation actors, that they can build something a little bit more reputable around that than the bit slapdash organisation it's been before.
Lucy, this kind of phenomenon is obviously not limited to Australia. In fact, we have many examples elsewhere in the world of interested parties building movements to support their aims. You could argue in that sense that on the Australian political landscape, these sorts of developments have been clearly signposted. And also we have examples of the inadequacies or otherwise of responses to them. So in the UK, it seems that Labor has decided to, and not only in the UK and not only Labor, but adopt a whole series of right-wing talking points, seemingly on the basis that through doing so, that challenge will be absorbed. But I think it seems to me to be the case that in doing so, they're merely perpetuating those ideas while undermining their own base. What do you think the response has been in Australia in terms of other political forces that may not share this agenda and should perhaps consider taking it seriously and responding to it?
I think we've got the case that we've seen in Australia, particularly with the government choosing anti-Semitism as something that's deserving of all its attention and focus, but a neglect of Islamophobia as a potentially equal or possibly more urgent problem in the short term. And I think the chances are that we will get closer to what Labor in the UK is doing. We're accepting the demonising of populations like Muslims, or we're accepting the attacks on immigration and working with the right-wing parties effectively in making that a genuine apparent crisis as opposed to a genuine one that needs to be attacked for electoral purposes. So if the centrist, or you might want to call it centre-right, parties that used to represent Labor dignify the far-right parties' hatreds, then they're going to lose the votes anyway, but they're also going to disillusion the majority of the population. I hope we can define it as in Australia, that is still fairly calm about these sort of culture war issues that they're trying to drum up. So it's a real risk that we fracture a vote that could cohere about something that was even mildly progressive, pushing back against these fairly grim attacks on minorities. But if Advance's work flourishes like it appeared to do, fighting the voice, then the chances that Labor will stay strong are pretty slim.
Lucy, it came out last year that one of Advance's donors was the Family Trust of Anti-Semitism envoy Gillian Siegel. Do we know if Gillian's had any comment about the made at the Advance conference the other day that Angela Merkel's immigration policy was worse than the Nazis for Germany?
I haven't heard anything to date yet, and all the times that we've had Nazis out on the street, including ones holding a sign against the Jewish lobby, have not seemed to elicit any comment from her, which suggests that she's more interested in the quite right-wing Zionist operations around the world that see Muslims as far more problematic than Nazis for the Jewish communities in the countries they're in. And I think a lot of us would see that as a real problem, as of an opinion.
To be fair, I did see she commented at the New South Wales inquiry into right-wing extremism the other day about the Nazis, although she was noting that I think that she suspected that their funding was coming from the same place as the campus protests, which I'm not entirely sure what her source would be on that. But she's not letting them go completely unremarked upon.
It was interesting that Advance had at the Advance conference an academic called Bradley Thayer, who was introduced as representing the American Freedom Alliance. That's been listed for decades as being a product of a family foundation that is in the top 8 or so funders of Islamophobic activity in America. and the American Freedom Alliance has been working to demonize Muslims for decades. So the fact that this man was allowed into the country is quite disturbing, and he was also asking for re-migration, which is a white supremacist term for mass migration. Another of the attendees was Benjamin Harnwell, who represents Steve Bannon's war room, and his rhetoric at the conference was much, much more disturbing, talking about Islam as being like oil and water, unable to fit in, and saying to the audience that their ancestors immigrated to assimilate and to contribute, but that's not possible with Muslims. And then gave an example of one sexual assault by an asylum seeker quite a few years back, and said that was the absolute representation of people coming in this way and a daily occurrence. So we all know that's not true. But disturbing the fear and hatred that these two men were fostering at a conference where Tony Abbott was asking for migration to be seen as a problem.
You are listening to Yeah Nah Pass Around on 3CR, 8:55 AM, 3cr.org.au and 3CR Digital on your DAB radio. We're currently speaking to journalist Lucy Hamilton about the Atlas Network and Advance. And just a reminder, it is subscriber month here at 3CR. So if you want to support the station, head over to 3cr.org.au/subscribe. Here's Lucy.
Lucy, we have this interesting phenomenon of former prime ministers speaking at right-wing lobby group meetings comprising a whole range of different figures, stockbrokers and Shark Tank enthusiasts and so on. It all seems a bit ridiculous on some level. I wonder, do you think that the coalition's recent decision to junk Lee in favour of Taylor is righting the ship? Do you think that a more determined and more obviously right-wing direction is what's going to save the coalition from Pauline Hanson and One Nation nipping at its heels?
It's going to be fascinating. I think you've had some people suggesting that they might end up with a three-way coalition, but I don't think that's likely. I don't know that in the Australian electoral system as it stands that a fringe right party will get enough of the vote to have some say. So it's going to be really interesting to see whether Advance has the capacity to rev up enough of a vote in the outer suburbs and the rural areas, turning people against immigration to the point that's going to swing enough of a vote to get the far right into government. I think you wouldn't want to count it out in the medium term.
I have to say, Andy, the turn of phrase Shark Tank enthusiast makes these mining executives and eugenicists plotting the downfall of liberal democracy sound like some sort of supervillains.
That's not for me to say, Cam. If that's the picture that that phrase prompts, I'm very happy that's the case.
Lucy, another conference that's been going on is the Aspire conference. Could you tell us a little bit about what that involves and what it might signal for a turn to Christian nationalism on the Australian right?
The Christian nationalism seems to be feeding through in both these conferences, and they both have links to the Alliance for Responsible Citizenship, which is this Christian nationalist conference organisation coming out of the UK. Tony Abbott, obviously, at the Advance one, and then John Anderson, the former Deputy Prime Minister, appears to be the leader of the Aspire conference. That's been described in the publicity as the new incarnation of the Alliance for Responsible Citizenship. So the Aspire conference is backed by a group called Form Australia, and that has on its board a number of people connected to some fairly strong religious beliefs. So a few Anglican and Anglicare, but others connected to Pentecostal faith, and very few on the board, apart from one think tanker, are not specifically religious in orientation. So it seems like that's the background to it. There were very few speakers listed on the documents that are available publicly, and they've been better at Advance at keeping this one secret. So we're not quite sure, but it's definite from the kind of people that they had listed that they will be fighting climate action, which is key to this because a lot of the money for the top-level organisations has come from fossil fuel-connected funds, and the Western civilization hysteria will be there too. Anyone who's been watching John Anderson's YouTube channel will know how deeply invested he is in the idea that Western civilization is on the brink of destruction, largely because of dreadful woke people and immigration. So I imagine those will be the talking points there, but we can't know because it's all happening behind the scenes. So it'd be interesting to know, for example, if Tony Abbott was at both, or whether there's been some kind of rupture in the Alliance for Responsible Citizenship direction in the Australian market.
Lucy, speaking of good godly Christians, I also happen to note that someone called Bishop Tony Piercy was delivering prayers on the first day of the Advance conference. Can you explain what the bishop was doing there?
I think he was supposed to be delivering a kind of grace at the dinner on the first night. And given that there was an official hate group listed on the menu for the day's performance, I felt that was something that the Catholic Church might want to take into account and act upon. There was also the gentleman, Benjamin Harnwell, who represents Steve Bannon, is also a virulently anti-Vatican Catholic who thinks that the false compassion of the Vatican and the bishops is part of the immigration problem, and that we should be able, the laity should be able to elect their bishops to overthrow this fake Catholicism that's ruling from Rome. So I'm not sure what Bishop Percy made of that.
He's a fairly senior figure being a bishop, and I don't know about you, but it seems to be the case that as far as the Vatican is concerned, migrants have rights which may be abused, and that abuse should be opposed by the church. So it seems a little bit incongruous, or at least perhaps indicating different ideological tendencies that find themselves some kind of shelter beneath the umbrella of Catholicism or Christianity.
It's a broad church, Andy.
There's certainly a split in the church between some very radical figures who despise the last couple of popes and others who are far more familiar to the Catholics who grew up with a social justice tradition in Australia.
It's fairly unusual for a bishop to turn up and give prayers at a far-right conference, isn't it?
I would have thought so, but perhaps he doesn't recognise it as far right. When they're amongst each other, they refer to what sort of the Liberal Party has been as centre right, but when they're speaking publicly, they call themselves centre right.
That's sneaky.
It is.
Lucy, the Epstein files have been a subject of much discussion lately, and a few of the people that are quite prominent in some of these spaces, like Steve Bannon, are incredibly prominent in the Epstein files that have been released. Have you been finding much interesting stuff about Atlas while looking at the documents that have been released by the FBI?
It's going to be fascinating to see. It looks like he's in the sphere of the big money behind the Atlas Network operations in the broadest possible sense, not directly. One of the interesting stories that's emerged was by Virginia Heffernan, who wrote about being invited into a group called The Edge, I think it's called, that is basically a lot of the very rich and the tech bros and the like getting very excited about race science and the idea of IQ as a racialized factor, where some groups are at the top of the IQ pyramid and other groups are at the bottom. So quite disturbing to find these very rich men gathering around these sort of ideas and fostering them as though they're scientific, because the idea is that if it's science, it's fact and you can't argue against it. And this is one of the things that makes diversity, equity and inclusion measures a target, because there's no point trying to foster diversity, equity, inclusion if women are unfit for the workplace, if gender is binary and fixed, if some people are better in all possible ways than other people. You're only fighting science if you try to push them into leadership positions or similar kind of mixes being done. The science would suggest that you need to leave people in their groups and in their role as nature dictates. It's tricky when we've got some of them saying God tells us where we have to remain, and the others and saying science tells us where we have to remain. Either way, it's very difficult to argue.
Lucy, these conferences, obviously, for people joining the dots, provide a wealth of information. And any other juicy tidbits that you've managed to derive from who's been speaking or what's been said?
One of the interesting facets is that a speaker referred to Stephen Doyle, the representative of Whitestone Strategic, or the Whitestone Group, a communications and political strategy advisor, as part of Advance. Although technically he was there representing a separate organisation, it received some publicity during the Voice to Parliament campaign as a fairly secretive body that was receiving taxpayer funds to provide messaging for the far right of the Liberal Party to their voters. And it was worth noting, I thought, that his co-founder of the Whitestone Strategic Group was a man who came from 7 years in the Australian Christian lobby directly to Whitestone for more messaging. So whether Whitestone Strategic is a Christian right operation remains to be seen. Steve Baxter said something really important in his speech, which is that he is working to, as a startup investor, to foster basically culture wars. So he's sending 20 young Australians off to CPAC America, which is the heart of MAGA. And he is also, he said, backing content creators around the world to foster this kind of what he called centre-right messaging, because it would trickle into Australia that way. His third project that he listed was backing two young flag entrepreneurs who are giving away flags. I'm not sure how that one's going to be a good investment.
Well, Lucy, we will have to wrap it up. If people want to find you online, you are on Lucy Ham on Blue Sky, and people can find your Linktree, which has links to lots of your articles there. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. It's a pleasure as always.
Andy, that is our program. Just a reminder that we are reaching the end of subscriber month on 3CR. If you find stuff like this useful, it is worth supporting the station by going to 3cr.org.au/subscribe.
That's a very good point and very well made, Cam. Everyone should become a subscriber if they can. Help keep us and 3CR on the air. Thank you.
We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye. Did you know that 3CR first went to air in 1976? That's right. We're turning 50 this year.
Right from the start, we prioritized progressive voices, First Nations issues, local music, alternative perspectives, and truth-telling.
50 years on, it's clear that independent, local media continues to be vital, and that there's a strong need for media that shines a light on injustice and gives voice to a vision for a better world.
Are you a current subscriber? We really need you. Subscribe today and help us celebrate 50 years on air.
Go to 3cr.org.au or call 03 9419 8377.
Don't you watch my size, I'm dangerous, I'm dangerous.
Come join us for Step and Razor, Saturday 28th of February from 4 p.m. till late at Hard Out in Preston. Raising funds for Flat Out Inc., community in West Papua, and for costs associated with immigration legal fees for our comrades. Vinyl will be spinning from 4 p.m. with selections from Goodies Hi-Fi, Lego, Martha, Count Attack, Good Behaviour, James Codeine, Hayley Stoneham, and Dave Slater. There'll be a raffle with prizes including vouchers from your favourite local venues, original artwork, jewellery, record packs, leather goods and more. Step and Razor, Saturday 28th of February from 4 p.m. at Hard Out Bar, 670 Plenty Road in Preston on the 86 tram line. Hard Out is a 3CR supporter.
You don't go through one fifth of the tribulation.